Welcome to African Catholic Voices, a podcast service of the Pan-African Catholic Theology and Pastoral Network. My name is Father Stan Chu Ilo. I'm your host today, and what a joy to be here on this day. And in this forum, we listen to what God is doing in our continent through the instrumentality of the church and men and women, both great and small, from coast to coast, who make it possible. The instruments that God is using to transform the continent of Africa and transform our world. African Catholic Voices offers an expansive space for the African palaver, where we gather to listen to what God is also saying to us in the silence of the hearts of so many people, as well as in the rumbles of our times, the highs and lows, the good, the beautiful, but not mention the other, because we want only the good and the beautiful in the continent of Africa. And so today, I am privileged to talk with one of the most visible, important religious in the continent of Africa. I'm talking about Sister Dr. Leonida Katunge. Welcome to African Catholic Voices, Sister Leonida.
Thank you, Father Stan.
And as is our tradition here, we like the people who are listening to get to meet you. So who is Sister Leonida?
Sister Leonida is a sister who belongs to the Congregation of the Sisters of St. Joseph, Mombasa, Kenya. I am a finally professed sister in that congregation, and I am a theologian specialized in systematic theology and more specifically in sacred liturgy. I hold a PhD from St. Anselm Pontifical University in Rome, specializing in sacramentology. I also happen to be an advocate of the High Court of Kenya, being admitted to the bar as a barrister in the year 2019. And my specialization as an advocate is family law and property law. Currently, I got elected as the program's director of the Pan-African Catholic Theological and Pastoral Network. And I am also heading the Building Bridges Initiative of the Holy Father, where I have a team of youths that I am leading in Africa together with other leaders. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sister Leonida. You are wearing many hats, obviously, from your very impressive CV. And many people wonder, how are you able to combine all these? As an advocate of the High Court, you have people you're representing, you're fighting for the rights of women and children, you're fighting to bring justice to people who have been maltreated, especially widows, you know, in terms of inheritance law. And at the same time, you're teaching, you're writing, and you are meeting and energizing and mobilizing young people throughout Africa. And people wonder, how do you combine all this? What creates that balance? And how are you coping with all these different hats you're wearing?
Interesting. I work best under pressure, and this is what keeping me moving. But all the same, currently, I am not lecturing in the university as I used to do, but I am still supervising students and doing consultation for some of the students who are working more so on their PhDs and masters, you know, theses and dissertations. I am also taking care of some matters, more so doing pro bono services for many women and children who have suffered injustice in my country, in Kenya. You realize, as you said, that when one loses their husband, it comes a time when the family that's left behind does not want to grant them justice, simply because at times war can begin because of property and inheritance. And it's this time that I come to give hand and to assist those widows and children who have been left behind to get justice, because we are living in a society where equality is not practiced. We are living in a society where at times women do not belong. And when their husbands die, then the situation aggravates, and many people in the families would like to get off or rid them of their properties. And it's here where we come in handy to assist them. You realize that I'm also carrying out some activities with the youths. Thank God that most of the activities are online. We are in the digital world. And this assists me more so when planning and programming my time to plan each activity at the right time. As I said, and as you said rightly, I'm a religious and I need to balance my prayer time and my pastoral activities. And by this, having the online meetings with the youths, having time to supervise and to speak with my students, we realize that I have to balance. And the only way I can create balance is to know that, one, I have pastoral activities outside my own community programs that I have to carry out and plan appropriately each day, because if I don't do that, then I will not realize my objectives and my goals and aim.
Thank you very much. And we thank God for your life, Sister Leonida, for the work you're doing for the church and for your resilience, your character, and your enduring capacity to be able to combine so many things that you're doing, and all because of your total dependence on God's grace. We can't do anything without God's grace. And so we thank you for cooperating with God in this special way. Dear friends, you're listening to African Catholic Voices, a podcast service of the Pan-African Catholic Theology and Pastoral Network. I am Father Stan, your host, and my conversation partner today is Sister Leonida Katunge, a sacramental theologian, an advocate of the Kenyan High Court, a defender of the rights of women and children, a lover of young people, and currently the director of programs for the Pan-African Catholic Theology and Pastoral Network. And Sister Leonida, you were at the African Continental Synodal Assembly that took place in Addis Ababa. You were there in your capacity as a delegate from the Holy See, representing the Dicastery for Communication, and in your work with African young people under the Building Bridges initiative that Pope Francis initiated on November the 1st, 2022, when he met with African young people. What was your experience of this synodal moment?
Well, I had time to go to Ethiopia, Addis Ababa, where there were 209 participants in this, my lights off, just stop. The experience is one that I will never forget, because I happened to be one of the participants who took part in that important phase of the synodality journey. And I found myself in the midst of many young people that actually I did not expect. Of the 209 participants, there were 28 youths. And in the course of our deliberations and discussions, I realized that 4 youths were already members of the Digital Youth Influencers. And this was so encouraging. And actually, this meant me to have a meeting with the youth who are present from the 28 countries, and they all accepted to join us in the digital world, where following the dictates of the WACI documents at the continental phase of the Synod of Synodality, number 35 speaks to the young people, people living with disabilities, and those people who are in want of defense of their lives. And talking to the youth and explaining to them the work that we're doing as a Pact Pan, as well as the initiative of the Holy Father, that is the Building Bridges Initiative, they were so much pleased, and they have subscribed, and they're actually getting in touch with me so that we can work together. I also realized that in the course of the deliberations, in the group works that we had, and even in the presentations, the homilies of the bishops and cardinals, they were all speaking to the young people. And the reason is, it seemed that in the course of the deliberations and the listening phase, concerns were raised about how the youth have been left out in the church and there's no one to listen to them. We are speaking to a church that listens. We are speaking to a church that is being called to enlarge the tents, the space of their tents, to accommodate everyone. And one of those people who needs to be accommodated in the tent are the youths. And believe you me not, as we are coming to the conclusion of the assembly, many youths who are present felt that they were welcome, they were appreciated, and they were given the opportunity to express themselves.
Thank you very much, Sister. Sorry to cut you in there, but I'd like you to talk more about the youth feeling accepted. What gestures were displayed? How did you know or feel that that was their sentiment at this assembly?
Thank you, Father. On the second day of our assembly, I had a meeting with Cardinal Mario Gresh together with Sister Natalie and some youths. And our question to the Cardinal was about the future of the youths in this synodal journey. And he gave us hopes of the fact that the journey that began in 2021, which is still on, is not ending. Actually, it's just beginning. And the key players in that journey are the youths. And he encouraged them to get involved in the activities that are taking place in the church in the course of this journey that we started in 2021. So many of them came to me after that, and they were asking me after the assembly what they can do. They are still reaching me to date. And in fact, they're organizing for a meeting on Friday so that we can discuss on how best we can realize the dreams that they have, given the fact that they feel that they've been appreciated and they have been accepted. Even in the course of the deliberations, a good number of youth were raising questions and issues. And you realize that they were not only talking about themselves, those who are present there as youths, but they were speaking generally about the youths in the church in Africa. And I realized that they have come to the conclusion of the fact that they are the church of now and they are needed in the church. And the work or the activities that they are carrying out have been appreciated in this church. And I have a strong feeling that if this trend continues, we'll have a future that is bright because our young men and women will now take responsibility and charge, and they will accept the roles of leadership in various capacities of the church, if at all their dreams have to be realized. And of course, that everyone is encouraging them. We've no doubt that they will hold to these leadership roles firm, and we will be in the next step, in the next few years, bear in mind that they are young, they are growing, and the future is in their hands.
Thank you very much, Sister Leonida. We'll come to the last question for our conversation, which is really moving forward. What are the areas you think that the church in Africa should be focusing in the formation of and engagement with young people in Africa, and more specifically, as it applies to your current assignment and ministry, how you are going to be helping the Universal Church and the local church in realizing these points or focus that you wish to identify in this last question?
Okay, the cry is that many young people have lost their way. They are submerged in the world of social media. Spiritual matters don't count for them anymore. But I tend to feel that with proper directions and guidance, these youths can move to the next step. And the first thing that I feel we need to do right now is to call them back to rethink about their lives as Christians. We need formation in their faith. I'm coming to realize that many of the young men and women who received baptism as infants in the faith of their parents, at some point in their lives have realized that they can make a choice of the kind of life they want to lead and even not follow the Christian, more so the Roman Catholic way of life.
Mm-hmm.
We need to call them back again and remind them of the promises that were made by their parents on their behalf and help them to carry out a reformation in their faith, to revive this faith that to some extent we may say is weak and shaky given the challenges that they are facing in the way of life, more so from the peer pressure influences that they are facing during their studies, or if we may say from the universities, and even some who are finding themselves working and they don't have strong and firm faith. But also, we need to move from faith matters to also try to teach the young men and women of the values that are so dear to the African society. The Ubuntu spirit, the Ujamaa, Idaba, and so other values that are held dearly by the African societies are being forgotten. Our youths don't care anymore about these values because they're living a world of their own. But I feel that it is not all lost. In fact, in the course of deliberations in the assembly in Addis Ababa, I realized that some of these points were coming by that we need again to rethink about the African values, not only for the elders, but more so for the youth, because some of them grow in a secularized society. In the world of the social media, they don't know about these values. And it is us, their leaders, parents, teachers, guardians, who are supposed to bring them to task and actually to help them understand these values and live them to the fullest. We have also all reasons to encourage our youths to take part in leadership. And we can only do this if at all we get to know that some of the initiatives that the youth can take will help the society in which we are living today to move from one step to another. We should forget about that culture of seeing them as young people, as people who cannot take any decision, as people who cannot sit with the elderly and speak on matters that matter about the society. I remember on the 1st of November 2022 discussion with the Holy Father when one of the youths raised the question of them not being allowed to take important decisions in the society. The Holy Father had this to tell them, that they should never give up and they should attempt to take important decisions and to become part and parcel of these groups that are organized in the church, that are in the family setup. And if they do so, then they will be able to learn and the future will be meaningful to them because they have started the leadership roles at a tender age.
Thank you, Sister Leonida. We're running out of time, and we thank you again for the work you're doing. We thank you for reminding us about the importance of grounding our young people on faith matters, strengthening them so that they can engage the culture, the changing cultures, the pluralism that has characterized our modern world. But at the same time, that we recognize that the youth, the young people today in Africa, are the faces of the church today. They're not just for the future, they're already. Africa is a continent of young people. The church in Africa is a church of young people, is a youthful church and a church for youth. So we thank God also for the work you're doing, and we pray that the work of God continues to be done, fulfilled, realized in you and in our young people. Let us pray. We thank you, Almighty God, for the gift of the church in our land, for the gift of our young people, for giving us this opportunity in these times for us to think together, walk together, and journey into that future which you alone know. Be with us as we journey by the help of your Spirit so that we may discern the right things, the right steps, especially on our young people, our children, that they may find the way always that leads to Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, the life, the beauty, the light that shines. Give us all that we need to do your will through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you very much, Sister Leonida Katunge, Director of Programs, Pan-African Catholic Theology and Pastoral Network, advocate, fighter for the rights of women, sacramental theologian, and committed servant of the Lord. We thank God for your life. We thank you, brothers and sisters, for being a part of this episode. Until we see you again next week, we ask you to hold on to all that is good, beautiful, and true. Keep loving, keep caring for one another. Show compassion, hold on to the light of faith, and may hope continue to well in your heart. And let us take care of ourselves, our continent, our brothers and sisters, our church, and let us become good stewards of all that God has given to us. God bless you, and continue to enjoy your sacred walk with Jesus during this Lenten journey, so that at Easter, we all may be transfigured, transformed by the power of God that comes from above. Bye. Dans l'épreuve, la force, dans la tristesse, la consolation.